Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. For more information, visit InvigorateHealthTN.com. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Just another day in paradise, fellas. Hope everybody had a good Christmas.
Hope you did as well. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Corey, we'll get to the Titans and their win against San Francisco here in just a few minutes, but just want to get your thoughts on the AFC playoff picture right now. Buffalo, big win against New England yesterday. The Bengals destroy the Ravens. And I'm still trying to figure out how the Titans lost to the Steelers after watching them play against Kansas City yesterday.
Well, first of all, that's not hard. You turn the ball over four times, you lose. Okay?
There is that.
They lost to the Texans when they turned the ball over five times. So the NFL, the good and the bad, doesn't matter. I mean, if you turn it over five times, four times, you're generally going to lose, because the difference between good and bad, it's not college. It's not New Mexico State versus Alabama. So that turnover ratio changes everything. But, you know, the AFC is really interesting because I think, you know, what's played out is what I've thought, and I'm sure Joe will probably disagree with me, is that I don't think that the Patriots are really contenders in the AFC. I just don't think they're good enough. I don't think their quarterback is good enough. I think if they don't play in a windstorm, the Bills sweep them in both games. I think the weather's the only reason that they managed to win that other one. You know, I think the Bills are clearly a more talented team than the Patriots are. And so I think, you know, that's interesting how that's played out in the last couple of weeks. The Chiefs are becoming who we thought they were, and that's probably the best team in the division. You know, their defense has clearly gotten it together, and their offense rolled yesterday without Travis Kelce. You know, it looks like they're going to lose Clyde Edwards-Helaire for a while, but I don't know that that's a massive loss for them. I don't know that he's a difference maker for them. You know, the Bengals' performance yesterday was stunning, but I've kind of thought the Ravens were fraudulent, and, you know, playing without Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley, you know, clearly, you know, not upper echelon. But I think the Chiefs can lose that game next week, and I think that's the really interesting thing is to watch out for, is that, you know, I think, you know, the Chiefs go to Cincinnati next week, and that, you know, they can lose that game. Do I think they will? No, but I think they can. And so I think that top seed is still in play.
Okay, now wait. Why did you think I disagree with you? That's been my take for weeks on the Bills or the Pats. I think they're total frauds.
Okay, I thought you were on the Patriots train. You're on the Colts train.
I think you got me mixed up probably with Jared, which is heartbreaking for me. And by the way,
I spent too much time with him.
By the way, do you agree with my comparison that Jared is Toonces the driving cat?
Toonces, I love Toonces.
See,
just always heading off into disaster. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, you're driving the car. Good take. I'm with you. Yep. I'm with you. And then we all go into a fiery ball.
Yeah. It's funny when Jared talks about fans and their overreactions. Like, what are you talking about? You fire everybody in the middle of the game.
Oh my goodness, it's fantastic entertainment. I'm with you, Corey, that, you know, there's a possibility, because the Bengals are, I guess, technically, I mean, they're playing for, I mean, the North is still tight enough. They've got to win this game, and so the Titans could be the one. But I'm looking at the bracket right now, and I know things can change, of course, but it's starting to come into focus right now. You know, it would be Colts, Bills in a 4-5.
Yeah,
And I've always thought the Bills were dangerous, even though they had their rough patch. They're dangerous. And obviously, I think the Colts are dangerous. I mean, obviously, you'd rather have the one, you'd rather have the rest. But what do you think about being the two and hoping that, like, a Bills or Colts could go take care of Kansas City for you and maybe have a little bit better side of the bracket with, like, I mean, right now it would be Ravens, Titans would be the matchup.
I mean, I think one of the things you really got to look at, guys, is quarterback play. I mean, you know, you really got to look at quarterback play when it comes down to it. And, you know, look at these Pro Bowl rosters. I mean, there are several teams where their record isn't the best, but they got a million Pro Bowl players, like the Colts and the Browns. Okay, well, why do those guys, those teams have so many Pro Bowl players and they have so many losses? Because the quarterback plays not the best, all right? And so I think, you know, going into a Buffalo-Colts matchup, who do you like and why? I don't care who won in the regular season. I'm going with Jared Allen over Carson Wentz, okay? That's just that simple. And so I think that, you know, that's something that you really have to watch out for. And obviously you'd love to not play Kansas City until the AFC Championship. I mean, I think, you know, because I don't think any of the other teams scare you. I just don't. And, you know, look, are the Titans beatable? Entirely. You know, they don't take care of the football. They're entirely beatable. You know, if you know, their weapons are still trying to round back into shape as well. But, you know, we think that's largely going to happen by the time the postseason get here. They've clearly got some work to do on the offensive end of things, but I think their defense is there where it can keep them in these games. And I don't know that any of those other offenses really scare you, you know, when the postseason, you know, gets here. So I think if they can take care of their business and win these last two games, and we've seen them not take care of their business in the past, I think they will be in a good spot to be the two or the one. And then you make it winner take all with Kansas City. And, you know, I'm going to sound like Mike Vrabel here. I like this team's toughness. I don't really care where they have to play. And I think mentally this team can go do it.
Corey, I've said many times on the show today, it's hard for me to overstate how important that comeback was for the Titans on Thursday in the second half and what they were able to do. I guess my question for you is, as you watch A.J. Brown do what he did on Thursday night, we've seen a lot of special performances in Titans uniforms. Where do you kind of put that, not in terms of ranking it, but just putting it into words, what you saw from A.J. Brown on Thursday and what it was like watching him rise to the occasion like that?
Well, I mean, what it just shows you is he's the difference between them having a pass attack and them not having one. I mean, really. I mean, trying to throw the ball without him is like a trip to the dentist. And it also just shows you how much more trust Ryan Tannehill has in him than everybody. Because he clearly looks different throwing the football to him than he looks throwing it to just about anyone else. He drops back and he lets it rip when he's throwing to number 11. And number 11 makes plays. And, you know, Jared, you know, that it's one of the more absurd things that I've ever said, but to me, he is more important to the Titans offense right now than Derrick Henry. And yes, Derrick Henry is a phenomenal player, but they can still run the football without Derrick Henry. Maybe not the same way, but they can still do it. They run for 200 yards twice without him. They cannot throw the football without him. I mean, they just can't. They have zero shock plays the last 4 or 5 weeks without him in the passing game. They get him in the passing game, and suddenly they're converting 3rd and 23 and throwing a 20-yard touchdown pass. I think, you know, he makes a massive difference for their ability to stretch the field, to open up the field, and make plays in chunks instead of having to drive 19 plays for 68 yards and kicking a 29-yard field goal.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that's a – yeah, you know, I still think, you know, you get Derrick Henry, it changes things, of course.
I don't disagree with that at all. But you're talking about not being able to throw the football. I mean, they had four quarters where they threw for 77 yards in a row, okay? Four quarters in a row they threw for 77 yards. And I don't know what they were doing in the passing game the first half Thursday night. It's like they were playing scared not to turn the football over the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I'm scared. I think that they were pleasantly surprised by the protection he got. And I know that they max protected and they gave help and all that stuff, but I think they held up better than they anticipated.
Well, they should have been doing that all season. The guy's been sacked close to 40 times now.
Yeah. Well, no, what was it, 45? 45, right? I think it's 45 times.
I think it's 41.
So
it was 37 going in.
So on Derrick Henry, Corey, there's a lot of Titans fan angst about the Jonathan Taylor MVP situation.
That's interesting.
How do you view that?
You know, I don't think it's I think it's misguided because I think it's more sour grapes than anything. You can't dislike Jonathan Taylor because Derrick Henry didn't win the MVP. Jonathan Taylor's having a fantastic season, and he's a wonderful player. I mean, he just is. There's no way around that. You know, does that make him better, air quotes, than Derrick Henry? No. No, it doesn't. But it means he's been there for all season. It means he's having a phenomenal year, and it means a quarterback isn't running away with the award right now in everyone's minds. And the league loves the Colts. I don't know why, but the league continues to love the Colts. Maybe it's Hard Knocks or not, but Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck haven't been there for a while. But the league still is in love with Indianapolis. So there's everybody's always looking for that alternate candidate. You know, why Henry didn't get more consideration last year, I don't know. I guess just a lot of people don't watch the Titans either, because I think a lot of people don't consider them real threats, and so maybe they don't watch them very much. I mean, you listen to a lot of national people talk about the Titans, and you know they just don't watch the team. You know, because they don't know the nuances of what's going on here. But I think there's a lot of anger over last year, him not being a stronger candidate to win the MVP. And I think it's misguided and placed on a guy who's had an awesome year and probably should be mentioned among MVP candidates. Does that mean I think he'll win? No. Aaron Rodgers is still the most valuable player in the league. I mean, I'm a Bears fan. I loathe the Packers. I despise Aaron Rodgers. He's the most valuable player in the league. There's no question. Look how bad they are without him. I mean, they're just not good without him. That's all there is to it. And then probably beyond that, Kansas City, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, probably, you know, way more, you know, when you say the name of the award, valuable, you know, who's more valuable to their team, Patrick Mahomes or Jonathan Taylor? It's not even going to be close just because of the position they play. Look what I just talked about with Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. I mean, you know, Derrick Henry is probably one of the top five football players on the planet, all right? And I'm talking about A.J. Brown being more valuable to the Titans right now because they can still run the football without Derrick Henry. Not as well, but they can still do it when they can't pass the ball at all without A.J. Brown. So, you know, it's that word valuable versus best that's kind of the nuance in all of that. But I think it's more frustration over last year and probably continued frustration. You know, because I think on Good Morning Football and stuff, they always talk about how, you know, they hear Titans fans saying, you never talk about our team, you never talk about our team. Well, they never talk about the team. So, I mean, that's reality. I mean, that's just reality. And I think after six straight winning seasons, you know, fans are tired of it. And I think this is just exacerbating it.
Corey, last thing for you here. We've talked a lot about Derrick Henry this morning in terms of you're getting right around the time where maybe he could be starting to get back towards the field, and fans are wondering, like, should he be in a game in the regular season before the playoffs come? I say, like, based on the way things are going right now, there's no scenario where I'm putting him on the field before the playoffs get here. What are your thoughts on the Derrick Henry situation? Are you in Derrick Henry watch mode as of yet?
Well, if he went to return to practice this week, then I would like to see him get some carries in Houston next week, and I'm not saying 30. I'm saying 8, you know, kind of like preseason type situation, because you should be able to beat the Texans with the other guys. But I would still like to see him get some carries. You know, I don't want him going into the playoffs not having been hit in forever. But that's only if you view him as 100% ready to rock and roll. To me, because if he's ready, he's ready. If he's not, he's not. And that's the way I view that. I don't fear him, you know, coming back and getting hurt again if they deem him ready, because, you know, his injury situation for his career has not been that prolific. I don't think he's made out of glass like some other guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on every day, and I look forward to an exciting 2022.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it as well. Corey Curtis, Thanks, Corey. To you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more information. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Hi, football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers?
Yeah, no, not right now.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe next week.
Oh, Bill Belichick yesterday, not necessarily in the mood to share his New Year's resolutions. We really need to find out who the name of that reporter was who asked him that question in the post-game press conference. I mean, I tell you what, the timing's great. You end up you lose the game to the Buffalo Bills. It's a big divisional matchup, and your question is, Bill, football aside, I got to know about your New Year's resolutions. Belichick, no, maybe next week.
That's by far nicer than I would have expected his response to be.
1,000%. Like
he actually opened the door to next week. I mean, that's pretty great. Well, I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming that's probably not one of the main beat writers, probably a reporter who, got access to the presser. Yeah. But I mean, if you're working on that story, would you not want Belichick's voice in it? Of course you would. And when are you going to get it? When do you have access? Now, I guess you could say maybe try that like at the Monday presser or something, like not right after the bitter loss that just lost you the division. That might be the one quibble I'd have. But
what do we think Vrabel would say? Joe, I think you should ask Vrabel if they lose. Should be your question.
If they lose the Dolphins, just get in there on Sunday and be like, hey, I know you just lost. And you're probably tied with the Colts now for the division. But, hey, give me your thoughts on the New Year's resolution. What you got for me, Braves?
I'd ask a more specific question. I'd say, Mike, is your resolution to never run the double reverse to the punter again? I think he'd very much enjoy that one.
Brett Kern, a part of your plans offensively. You know, we got to the point a couple weeks ago where I thought maybe, might need to bring that sucker back in there if you're Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, the thing is, like, they got it going last game. Like, and I agree with Corey, like, just in terms of, like, you can't throw it. You haven't been able to throw it. Now, all of a sudden, wow, amazing how your quarterback looks like he likes throwing the football again. But, I mean, they also had the A.J. Brown throwing the ball play in there, too, just to, probably as, like, a, you know, in case they need it, like, hey, let's just try him throwing it too if we need it.
Which was almost intercepted, and I was so scared sitting on my couch.
Yeah, that wasn't. I mean, AJ Brown was actually proud of that pass after the game. He's like, "What'd you guys think?" And he did throw a spiral.
He did,
but it hit the ground about 10 yards in front of his intended receiver. You got to work on that.
He was on the run, so he didn't get a chance to set his feet there throwing the ball on the run.
That's fair. That is fair.
Displayed his SEC speed on that little pitch there. It was good stuff.
I nominate Kaharski to ask the New Year's resolution question of Vrabel this week.
I think that would go over well.
Yeah. What did he call it earlier? A festival of
Pride and congratulations. Yes. Is that what it was? Yeah, a festival. That's outstanding.
Good stuff. What did you think of Corey's thoughts there that maybe he'd like to see Derrick Henry in there for the Houston game, get about 8-10 carries?
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, we talked about it earlier. I think that you wait and wait and wait because it's a tiny little bone in the foot of a huge man who cuts extremely hard on those feet to make plays. I just don't think the benefit of, getting hit. Derrick Henry's been hit. He'll, it's that first hit. He'll take that first hit. As the first carry of whatever game he's in, it'll be, 11 in the box, and he'll get stacked up, and they'll celebrate, and there you go. You've taken your hit. Here we go. I think the potential cost – and I hear what he's saying, like, either you're ready or not, But again, doctors have said on this thing, like, it's just there is a re-injury. There's a re-injury risk next year too, by the way.
Yep.
If he never plays again this season, comes back next year, yes, it is now more likely to be hurt again because he hurt it. I mean, you surgically repair it and you put things in there to fortify it. Doesn't mean that you can't injure it again. So I agree, like, if he's ready, he's ready. And he won't play unless he's ready. I'd just wait. Also, by the way, little fact check on the sacks. It was 41 going into the last game. They gave up 4 more sacks. So right now on the NFL sacks allowed, the Bears and Ravens are worst in the league with 49. Bengals at 47, Titans at 45.
Mm. Not good stuff there. So we'll see if that can get better as they move down the stretch here. It is interesting. I was thinking about this the other day when it comes to Derrick Henry. Just watching that guy, and it's funny you bring up the first play. You're going to be 11 in the box. They're going to try a play action when he's in there. This is my called shot. They're trying to play action when he's in there for the first play. They'll throw an incomplete pass. It'll be 2nd and 10. He's definitely getting the ball. Todd Downing loves to run him the ball in 2nd and 10. That's what I've learned about Todd Downing this year. 2nd and 10, Todd Downing's running that sucker right up the middle.
That's true. But, you know, if you can get 4 yards on 2nd and 10, now you got 3rd and a little bit more manageable.
That's right.
I think you're probably right that that's exactly how it'll go. Maybe they should start right out with the halfback pass from Derrick Henry, you know?
Have we seen him throw the ball other than the jump pass? Like, has he ever had to just wind up and throw one? I don't think so.
I don't think there's been a straight up like flea flicker, you know, throw deep or other than, yeah, the little jump pass when poor Marcus Mariota just was all alone.
Mariota's wide open. Tannehill's wide open earlier this year. Never mind the fact that Henry's 2 for 2 on that stuff. Didn't see the quarterback. Didn't go through his progressions.
Yeah, got to go through your reads a little bit better. But no, I don't think we've seen that. I don't think he's done that. But maybe this is the time.
Maybe so. When we come back, we'll get into the AFC playoff picture. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's a good time of year for the world of sports, and I'm sure you probably heard of FanDuel Sportsbook by now. They're making every moment more this season. First off, FanDuel Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. That means you can place all your bets on a trustworthy app that's also easy to use. And basketball fans, you can celebrate the NBA 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook as well. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. So if you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. They've got great live betting options, odds boosts, and specials every single day as well. And we're getting close to the playoffs in the NFL. Some great odds boosts on that as well. There's no better place to bet than on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, they're hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 as well. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Rob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this season. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. This Thursday, tune in for the Transperfect Music City Bowl on 102.5 The Game and our sister station 93.3 Classic Hits as the Tennessee Vols take on Purdue at Nissan Stadium coming up at 2 o'clock on Thursday. Coverage of the game is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Tickets available for the game right now at MusicCityBowl.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by our friend Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Titans and the Nashville Predators as well. By the way, Predators returning to practice. So hopefully that means some games very, very shortly on the horizon. They were scheduled to play tonight against the Dallas Stars, and the league extending their pause through today as well. So right now, games later this week still on the schedule for the Predators. Hopefully that remains the case as they move forward here. We'll get into that and more coming up with Darren at 9 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Logan texting in, is it wrong of me to wish Arthur in Atlanta wouldn't work out and he would come back here? Robbie, I almost smashed my TV on the first drive last Thursday. Logan, we're glad your television survived the first drive by the Titans. And I'm sure in a perfect world, if Arthur Smith could come back here, Titans fans would probably take it.
Okay, I'm trying to think back to the first drive. So if, I thought, wasn't the first drive early on, Tannehill had a couple plays. One, where again, you have a screen that is completely red, surrounded toast, and you still throw it to your back. So you can lose 5 or 8 yards or whatever. Like, that's two games in a row he's done that. Like, dude, just put it at his feet.
Fred Warner. They know. Totally destroyed that play.
Yeah, like they know you're running a screen. They would love for you to lose the yardage. But then also he took a sack where he had AJ Brown down the left sideline singled up to me. It's like that's every time you take that matchup. And eventually he did take those matchups. But yeah, I thought you're talking about a 55-yard half. So you're talking just an atrocious offensive half. I thought it was a bad half for everybody, basically, including Downing. But no, I think, Arthur Smith's in his first year. So I guess maybe had he gone like total Urban Meyer on this season, then maybe you could get him back. But actually, I think he's done a pretty good job with that team.
They're still in the mix, man. They're 7-8. Big win against the Lions yesterday.
I was going to say, after a hard-fought win, I just want to show you guys, the illness runs in my family here. Look at that. Look at this.
That's a massive Lions cup. There you go.
Look at that. Oh, yeah, baby.
Tim Boyle out there slinging that ball around yesterday. Lions covering the spread. It was good stuff. Way to go, Lions. One of the hottest teams in football right now.
We actually, like my cousins and I, we actually flipped over to the end of the Lions game to see the exciting finish right in time to see Tim Boyle just not see a linebacker and throw a pick right to him. So, there's some Lions magic for you.
It was a big day yesterday in the NFL. In the AFC in particular, there are a lot of interesting results yesterday. The one that just blows my mind, the Texans put up 41 against the L.A. Chargers. They win 41-29 at home. Chargers dropping a bad one yesterday. Giving up 41 to Davis Mills and company. That Chargers defense, I tell you what, they can make people look awfully good sometimes.
I mean, where are they on the list of most disappointing if they don't make the playoffs?
Yeah.
You know, like that's – they've got to be – and that's the thing too. You keep in mind as a Titans fan. You're always going to talk about Jets, Texans. I get it, but man, it could be a lot worse than it is.
Could be worse than it is.
And I mean, ultimately, it's been really good.
Well, look, I've been trying to warn you all about Davis Mills for weeks now, and here he is, just taking names last few weeks. Big win against the Jags, now following it up with a win against the Chargers as well. You better watch out for Davis Mills.
I mean, the guy's 21 for 27, 254, two touchdowns, no picks, a 130.6 rating. Oh, and Rex Burkhead went 22 times for 149 yards. How bad are the Chargers on D? Are you kidding me?
If you let Rex Burkhead rush for 150 and two touchdowns on you, that's not good, man. Because we all know that Texans offensive line is just a juggernaut up there in the running game.
I may need to change my answer on Derrick Henry because the rushing title is actually within his grasp if he can play on that day. He might run for 700. So maybe you need to go ahead and get him going
maybe
that day.
So. The Bengals destroy the Ravens yesterday. Joe Burrow throws for 525 yards and four touchdowns. They win 41-21 at home against Baltimore. Bengals in a pretty good spot right now to win the AFC North, which is pretty incredible. I mean, you're talking about Joe Burrow's second year there. We talked about their receiving core. They've got a heck of a receiving core. T. Higgins yesterday, 12 catches, 194, and two touchdowns on the day. Jamar Chase, a big day as well. That's a big win for Cincinnati, and that sets up a big game coming up this week against the Bengals and the Chiefs. It's probably your best hope left if you're a Titans fan of the Chiefs losing.
It's your chance, and Burrow. You're talking about 2,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard rusher. Burrow, 4,000-yard passer. They're ahead of schedule. By the way, give me a quick break on Holiday Brain. Obviously, Burkhead was for the Texans. Actually, yes. The Texans rush D held Justin Jackson to 11 for 64. You know, that's not, they only ran for 89 yards as a team. As you said earlier, Eckler not in, but there's no excuse, man.
It's bad.
There's no excuse. It's just bad. And I mean, I think it kind of costs. I mean, it stinks for the NFL if they're not in, because I do really enjoy watching Herbert and that offense. You know, he threw the terrible pick at the end when they were done anyway. But I mean, he's still one of the bright young stars in the league, and we're probably not going to get to watch him in January now.
The Bills with a win against the Patriots yesterday, 33-21 on the road in Foxborough. That's a big game. You've been calling it for weeks, Rex Road. You said the Bills would win this game on the road. They did. And now Buffalo in the driver's seat in the AFC East. I think the Patriots starting to come back to earth a little bit after the hot stretch that they were on. You know, they still ran the ball somewhat well. I mean, Harris had 103 yards, 3 touchdowns yesterday for the Patriots. But Mac Jones, it just kind of seems like when they need to make a play in the passing game, either he's not making the throws, or I still don't believe have enough weapons to pass the ball all that efficiently.
I mean, I took some loud ridicule on the Bills' belief from Toonses and others.
You did.
But I mean, to me, the story of that game was the Patriots actually did get it going on offense and twice got within a score of the game, and twice had a chance, you know, put it on their defense, a good defense this year at home, crowds going nuts, the wind swirling. They could not stop Josh Allen. Nope. And it came down to it. He tried to throw the one pick that probably would have changed the game, didn't throw it. I mean, here and there, it's so interesting with him, because it really is about every fifth or sixth throw is just completely just nowhere on the map. Like, how did that come out of your hand? But then he throws those dimes. I mean, he threw the two straight downs, fourth down to Stephon Diggs, then the touchdown to Diggs. That was the biggest moment of the game late in the first half. But Isaiah McKenzie in for Cole Beasley, 11 for 125 and a touchdown. And I know it's Josh Allen's gonna have to be their leading rusher, and it was mostly like scrambles and stuff, a little bit of, you know, design run QB, but you know, 12 carries, 39 for Singletary to go with his. They rush for 114 on that team on the road. That's enough. If you do that, you're the Bills. That's enough with everything else you have going for you. I still think they're absolutely a dangerous team in January in this conference.
Yeah, that's a big win for Buffalo yesterday. And as I said, they now control their destiny in the AFC East. They are in the driver's seat to win that division. Kansas City, they destroyed Pittsburgh yesterday, 36-10 in a game that quite frankly wasn't even that close, as the score indicates. Kansas City was up 23-0 at halftime. They didn't have Travis Kelce in the game, and Mahomes throws for 258, 3 touchdowns in the game, and that defense of Kansas City continues to play really well and look just totally different than they did to start this season. I mean, we were talking about just an atrocious Kansas City defense to begin the season, and now I wouldn't say it's the strength of their team when you've got Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek Hill, but that defense is playing as well as anybody right now.
They are, and the Steelers are cheeks too.
Not good.
I mean, it's, you know, again, it's a totally understandable thing to watch that game, watch the Steelers, watch Roethlisberger struggle to just do basic stuff and say, my gosh, how did you lose to these guys? And like Corey said, the answer is by saying, here's the ball, yeah, here's the ball, here's the ball. It's the only way. But I agree, the Chiefs are they're rounding into form. It's very reminiscent of 2 years ago. They lost a game in Nashville and didn't lose again.
Yep.
And that could happen again 2 years later.
It very well might. They're playing some pretty impressive football right now. Christmas Day action, the Packers take down the Browns 24-22 in – speaking of turnovers, Baker Mayfield handing out interceptions left and right in that game. That drops the Browns to 7-8. They're in a tough spot right now in Cleveland. They got some work to do if they want to get in.
And it's just, I think it's like the Chargers. You're just talking about, to me, a really talented team. Yes, they've had a lot of issues. They've lost some key players. Well, a lot of teams have, but you know, they've been hit hard with that. But still, if your quarterback doesn't give the other team the game, a great team, you know, a team that I think can win it all, then you still win that game and you are now in position. And of course, they blew the game to the Raiders too. I mean, talk about a fan base and a team that could really regret things. I still think that's one of the better rosters in the NFL, but I just Baker seems to be regressing. I don't know what else to think of it. I've always liked him as a player, not as a great quarterback, but as a good quarterback that you're going to give a second deal to and you're going to feel good about it. You can win with him. I'm not sure about that anymore.
He was awful on Saturday. He really was. And he was just gift-wrapping passes. He could have thrown a couple more. The Packers dropped two. So he could have thrown six picks on Saturday. It was pretty incredible what happened with Baker Mayfield out there. And then Saturday night, the Colts in a game where, I mean, they're shorthanded. You don't have Darius Leonard in that game. You don't have Quentin Nelson in that game. And the Colts go out there. They take care of business. They win 22-16 on the road against Arizona. And I kind of view this a couple of different ways. Number one, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Indianapolis, they figured some things out. They're playing really well. They're very confident right now. I thought Carson Wentz was awesome in that game. I think he played really well. I think there's that part of it. And I also think Arizona, they're kind of a mess right now. I've always kind of felt like they were somewhat – fraud's not the right word, but I never felt like they were the best team in the NFC. And now I think we're starting to find out that they're not.
Yeah, well, and I think, honestly, I think your squad – obviously that was their first loss, but, I mean, that was your first – indication of, okay, Aaron Rodgers goes out there, no Devontae Adams, and they find a way to win in your stadium on a Thursday night game. And obviously since then, that's five losses in eight games, starting with that.
Yep.
After being the story of the league, you know, Kyler Murray is this year's Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson was the MVP through like seven games last year, and then not even a mention at the end. And it's going to be the same thing with Kyler Murray. And I thought, I still think Kyler Murray, he did a lot of good things the other night, but they're just kind of discombobulated. And I mean, they're still a dangerous team, but they're going to have to start the playoffs on the road, I think. I mean, I think the Rams are going to end up winning the division now. And by the way, that's another team that. I mean, the NFC is you really legitimately have five teams, or four, maybe you discount the Cardinals, but four really strong contenders to be in the Super Bowl. To me, maybe some people disagree on the Rams, that they're a cut below Packers, Bucks, and Cowboys, but I think they're right there. I really do. And they've won four in a row. And it's that side, as wide open and fun as the AFC is going to be, the NFC is going to be just some epic battles.
Well, the Cowboys could have put up probably literally 75 points last night against Washington if they'd have kept their starters in there. I mean, they were just destroying the football team last night. You know, Washington had, people fighting each other on the sideline. Yeah. It was quite something on TV last night.
Yeah, the Alabama guys, John Payne and Jonathan Allen, getting after each other. So, that was nasty. I mean, you got Cooper Rush out there just slinging it around too. Like, and Dak, you already threw for 350 and like four TDs the first half or whatever it was.
Take a seat, buddy. I got this one. I'll take it from here, man. It's good stuff last night.
That's a good team. Yeah. I mean, I must say, of the hype teams going into the year, you're always like, oh, who's overhyped? You always want to look at the Cowboys, right? Yep. But Micah Parsons,
pretty good,
and Diggs. Their defense is honestly, who are the two most transformed from negative to positive defenses in the NFL? To me, it's the Cowboys and the Titans.
Yeah, I think you could certainly make that argument. No question about it. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We got more of those to get to coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game this Wednesday and Thursday for the Bud Light Preds Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cade. Drink specials. You can enter to win Preds tickets and watch the Preds take on the Washington Capitals on Wednesday and the Columbus Blue Jackets coming up on Thursday. The Preds Bud Light Watch Party located at Headquarters Beer Cade at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 p.m. on both nights. So hopefully some Nashville Predators hockey to look forward to the next couple of days.
I'd like to go to my personal text line.
Okay.
Jared Stillman. I'm gonna read this whole thing. Okay.
Okay.
Because apparently me talking about Baker stinking it up has hit a nerve. Quote, you need to give Baker the same excuse-making grace you give Tannehill. He hadn't practiced in 2 weeks. He was a no-call away from winning the game. The last INT was bleep. And if that Tannehill, you and Titans Twitter, and if that was Tannehill, I think he meant to write, you and Titans Twitter fans would be crying, and then two crying emojis. And I don't accept the excuses for Baker, but I also don't accept him for Tannehill, end quote. So my response to that is, you know, I think we all have seen Tannehill struggle, and you can look at the whole picture of it and say, well, you know, the protection's been terrible, which it has been. You can look at the injuries and all that and talk about it realistically. And if that's excuse making, I guess that's excuse making. I mean, I think that we've talked a lot about Tannehill not elevating enough. You can't make the mistakes he's made. He's had some terrible weeks. The Texans game was brutal. He's had a lot of rough weeks, but I think when you go Toonses is when you then yank it off the road and, you know, you're like, well, you got to trade him. He's done. You know, it's all fake. Like everything that Tannehill did that was good before was some sort of mirage or smoke and mirrors. It was a quarterback who benefited from good players around him, good pass protection. Yes, good pass protection last year, some of the best pass protection in the league. This year, some of the worst. Weapons, Derrick Henry, absolutely. Has anyone, seriously, has any, maybe Mike Greenberg, maybe that rant is the closest it's been when he called him, what he called him, like the most underrated,
called him the most disrespected player in sports, in American sports.
Yeah. So maybe, I guess you could say, is that someone saying this is a top tier quarterback? Maybe. I've never heard anyone actually say it out loud. To me, he's a second tier quarterback, and he was playing near the bottom of that tier for a lot of this time. So, I mean, you can call it excuse making, but I mean, are you capable of looking at all the different factors and understanding, one, that quarterbacks always get too much credit and too much blame? And are you willing to look at what Tannehill has done during this stretch? And Jared's not alone. Ryan Porth came on last week. It was like 1,000%. Basically, he's out on Tannehill. And that, if that's your opinion, that's fine. I think it's dumb. I'm sorry. I think Tannehill's performance from start to finish here has given him, should give him some benefit of the doubt, should give him some grace. And I think you saw it last game. He has a playmaker out there. He looks like an NFL quarterback again. Also, and we've talked about this a lot, Robbie, there's still going to be moments ahead here in the next few weeks where it's going to come down to 3rd and 11. And this is the game. And you got to stand in there and scan the field and rip a perfect pass, or you're probably not going to win the game. And there is pressure on him because he didn't play well enough against Baltimore. So I just think it's a more nuanced discussion than, he sucks. Who you got to trade for? Trading for Russell Wilson. Ah, you know, it doesn't have to be this dramatic.
Well, I agree. And what I guess I'm wondering after that game on Thursday night, and I know a lot of this is AJ Brown. But go back and look at that touchdown pass to A.J. Brown. There was an out route he ran on the sideline as well. And on both of those throws, Tannehill just reaches back and fires it. I mean, he's just an absolute laser. And he just looked like a confident guy on that throw. Now, it could be just because he's throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. And there's chemistry there. There's confidence there. You know, I was listening to Jared the other day. I think you bring up a good point. I mean, when you drew the Niners offside and basically threw up the jump ball to A.J. down the sideline, it just kind of felt like Tannehill changed after that. Everything was going well after that. The confidence was there. So
yeah,
that's good. Can you carry that forward as you move forward here? I guess, is that the Tannehill we're going to see as we move forward, even when it's not A.J. Brown he's throwing the ball to? You know, TD was talking about with us last week, you know, the confidence that's borderline cockiness. I think we saw a little bit of that with the throws that he made the other night. That to me is when you know that Tannehill is feeling it out there. Obviously, he feels that way with A.J. Brown. Is there any way you can feel that way with anybody else on the field? Or is it just going to be, you're going to pepper the ball to A.J. Brown 17 times a game, which honestly, not that bad of a game plan if you ask me right nowadays, based on the offense as it currently stands.
Right, and I like how TD put that. I think that's very perceptive of him because he's absolutely right. There was a swagger that he has lost in this process.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, but I don't think he lost it just because he all of a sudden started to stink. I think that he didn't react well enough to a lot of things going poorly around him. But he's been tough. He's hung in there. And, you know, you go back to when he had that, when he was playing at a very high level. He didn't just rip the ball in tight windows to A.J. Brown. He ripped it in tight windows to Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis and even Firkser at times. know, and Adam Humphries on some, you know, you go back to the AFC title game. He had two straight fourth and mediums that he ripped perfect passes to Humphries in the slot. I mean, I think he's got a pretty good chemistry with Westbrook Akina now. But again, that's a good complementary player, and that maybe all be all that Julio Jones is too. But I do think that there's hope based on what he did with A.J. Brown, that there has been a little bit of a light going on now. We'll see.
We've had somebody on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com make a Stillman Titans fans, Toons is the driving cat meme. So you can check that out for your viewing pleasure on our text line. We might post that on Twitter.
Bless your heart. Well. Can we? Yeah, we need to tweet this. Let me look at this.
It's good stuff.
Who did it?
Yeah, there's no name attached to it, but we need a name. It's good stuff. Shane from Ashland City texting in. Some people are crazy. I was down on Tannehill, but look where his ball placement was compared to where it was before Brown came back. A.J. Brown shows you then all the picks were on Tannehill. It's receivers not running the correct routes. I would agree not all the picks were on Tannehill. I would still say Tannehill was not very good at taking care of the football.
Yeah. I mean, look, there were some picks that didn't happen that were dropped picks that he threw to dropping linebackers that you have to see. So, and I don't think we've been excuse making for Tannehill. We just haven't been jump off the cliff because he's having a bad stretch, because you have to, if you can't recognize the reality of what's going on with this team this year, which has played the most players ever and has had 52 starters. I mean, is that excuse making? That's excuse making to see the reality. I mean, Tannehill, I think everybody in this town, well, I don't know. I haven't listened to every second of every other show like some people do. They have an amazing ability to hear that. I think most people have been pretty realistic. Like he hasn't been good enough. But I just have never believed that this means that he's all of a sudden on this path toward futility.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from Clarksville texting in. Probably the biggest factor is a few throws towards Brown. He knows he's going after the ball versus other receivers not giving it 110% to know. So A.J. Brown fighting for the ball. I mean, look, there's a pretty obvious trust level between Tannehill and A.J. Brown. And they built in enough reps together both in practice and in live game action that, you know, that's a connection that they just have at this point. And look, you know, he doesn't have that with Des Fitzpatrick and Nick Westbrook-Akina and all these different guys. I mean, it's different with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's a different guy. So, I mean, I do think there is something to that on the A.J. Brown front. Number one, he's an incredibly talented receiver. He can get open. He's very dangerous after the catch. But I do think there's a different trust level with A.J. Brown than there is with anybody else out there with Tannehill. Deservedly so.
Well, I agree. Now, there's also a huge difference. Let's take Des Fitzpatrick and Nick Westbrook-Akina. Like I said, I think that he and Westbrook-Akina have built a pretty good chemistry. But Westbrook-Akina is, you know, he's a good 4 or 5 in your receiver room. Okay, and that's just the reality. Like you compare A.J. Brown to Westbrook-Akina, there's a huge gap. But like Des Fitzpatrick was not supposed to play that day.
Yep.
And two of those picks, again, I'm not trying to make an excuse for Tannehill, but two of those picks has, I think, something to do with Des Fitzpatrick not even really being in the game plan. Like, crap, you got to go out there and be out there. Now, you got to have everybody ready to play every week. Vrabel talks about it all the time. So, it's, you know, you can't make too many excuses for this. But there's a huge difference on the game day, oh, no, throw the rookie in who has been on the practice squad all year. So, that's probably a couple of the picks. But, again, he's throwing other passes that should have been picked that weren't. So, Jared is blowing me up. His point is that Baker didn't practice for 2 weeks. Final interception was total obvious PI. You agree with that, by the way, Robbie?
Yeah,
obvious.
Total PI. It was pass interference.
Yeah, but I didn't bring that up with Baker. Well, that's probably true. And you know what? This is also what happens when you talk and you watch every snap of a player in your market, and you feel, you know, you talk all the nuances, and then you watch like part of a game with another guy. You're like, that guy sucks.
Now the other three were awful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a thing. But, yeah, I mean, he's had adversity. He's coming off COVID, all that stuff. I do think, in general, that's going to be interesting with Baker Mayfield, you know, with the Browns and Baker. I don't know, man. I've always thought – I mean, I think he's in that tier. He can be in that tier with a Tannehill and a lot of these guys who are good quarterbacks who you can win with. But I don't know. I don't know what to think about him right now.
JD texting in, can we get Rex Road and Jared on the next Jake Paul fight card? You guys can kind of be a lead-up to whoever Jake Paul decides to fight next and pay off?
So I don't follow that stuff very well, but so Jake Paul is actually just kicking the crap out of people.
Apparently so.
Apparently, he's been training too.
No, he's training. There's just he's beating the crap out of people.
It's kind of discouraging. Some dude on YouTube just starts beating the crap out of everybody.
There's a theory out there that he's paying everybody off. He's just paying people to lose.
Was that in your Packers text thread?
That was not in the Packers text thread. Okay. That was just that's just the theory that's out there. I'm just reporting what I see.
Interesting.
That would be interesting though. A little pre-Jake Paul fight, Rex Road versus Stillman.
I would rather do that than let him drive me around in a car.
I'd probably rather do that as well. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Darren McFarland. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.